Welcome to the Back in Time podcast with Kyle and JD, where every week we jump into our DeLorean, cruise to 88 miles per hour, and travel back in time to review our favorite films. Every week we talk about current cinema, the latest trailers, and we pick a new favorite film every single episode.
But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts!
Don't say that! Never say that! Goonies never say die!
We're back with a beautiful, with the only Ghostbuster.
Now, here's your host, Kyle Autry, and his co-host, JD.
All right, welcome to the teaser trailer episode. This week, we discuss the 1994 comedy film Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. I'm Kyle Autry, joined as always by my co-host, JD. JD, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I got to let you know, the best soup always comes from cans. Why is that? I've never had a soup better than canned soup, and I'm having some right now.
What kind of soup are you eating?
Oh, chickened noodle.
Chickened noodle? I thought it was just chicken noodle.
No, it's noodles that have been chickened. Isn't it?
No, you're definitely off on that. And also, I'm going to call bullshit on that because I think the best soup comes from Olive Garden. And every time I go there, I get the Zuppa Descan. I'm sure I'm not pronouncing it right, but that's the sausage potato soup. And it doesn't come from a can.
Well, from Olive Garden, there's a good chance it does come from a can still. They just pour it from the can into your bowl.
Touche. You're probably right. Dang it. Well, I just proved your point then. That's awesome, man. So you're enjoying some soup. Is that your dinner or did you eat something else?
It sounds so less exciting when you say, is that your dinner? Why can't I just be enjoying some delicatessen soup or something fancy?
So that's a yes. That's all you're eating.
Yeah, this is dinner.
Okay. Love it, man. Well, let's jump into the DeLorean and go back to last week and start by just talking some Karate Kid. I have to say, man, the response for Karate Kid was really good. I'm glad everybody enjoyed it. What would you hear on your side?
The audience came out to vote. They picked Karate Kid, and apparently they made the right choice because, yeah, I think everybody dug the episode. I think that the audience made a great choice in the ninja movie. Hopefully next time we put Honey, I Shrunk the Kids in a poll, Rick Moranis prevails. Maybe we'll do an all Moranis, all the time poll. But thanks to everybody who voted, and it was a kick-ass episode.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed it. I thought that was one of our best episodes yet. And not to toot our own horn, but toot toot. Feels like we're getting better every week.
Not to sweep our own leg.
Not to trim our own tree. Or damn it, he doesn't have a tree in that movie. What's it called? What's that little
bonsai tree?
Bonsai. Yeah.
Now you did some Yokozuna right there. Bonsai.
Love me some Okozuna. Did you know that Okozuna was a cousin of The Rock?
Seriously, is that true?
Yeah, no, that's true. There's actually like a ton of wrestlers that come from that exact same family. So Yokozuna would have been first. Rikishi is a cousin of Yokozuna. Also, Umaga, who passed away, was a cousin. And then you got The Rock. And then you have the Uso twin brothers that are currently like tag team champs. And also Roman Reigns all come from that same family.
What about Owen Hart? Is he from that family as well?
Definitely not. Owen Hart is white.
He's probably from the Hart family, isn't
very
he?
Very Canadian.
Should have been able to put two and two together. And then I would have had I was going to make a Parks and Rec joke about having a fart attack, but call it a Owen Hart attack. And I realized that would just have not gone over well.
Owen's like one of my favorite wrestlers. We can't rag on him.
I loved him too. Big Owen fan.
I actually was watching the pay-per-view the night he died.
Same.
Yeah, that was tough. Anyway, we'll get off of wrestling talk and get back to movie talk, right? We're a couple days in to the Black Panther era. I know we'll do a full breakdown on the full Ace Ventura episode of what our thoughts were, but yeah, man, I gotta say, I was pretty impressed with what I saw from Black Panther.
But let's save our comments for the full-on review, because I don't want to. We can spend a lot of time discussing it, and you know how passionate I can be about Marvel movies and how passionate you can be about superhero movies. And let's put the focus on Ace Ventura and then give a little bit more juice to Black Panther.
Yeah, for sure. And then, you know, coming into theaters in March here, we got a couple of things I wanted to just bring up and kind of get your thoughts on it. So first weekend of March, we're going to have a movie out called Red Sparrow with Jennifer Lawrence. That comes out March 2nd. Do you have any interest in seeing that?
If Jennifer Lawrence is in it, the answer is yes.
Good answer. Okay. Yeah, I thought the trailer looks really good. I'm interested to see what it is that they're going to kind of go over. Also, we've got the reboot of Death Wish from director Eli Roth, starring Bruce Willis. Do you have any interest in the reboot of Death Wish?
Death Wish is one of those movies that like really puts me on the fence because I am a massive fan of Charles Bronson and Jeff Goldblum in the original. As you can imagine, I am also a massive Eli Roth fan. So for me to look at this remake and to see like Eli Roth getting a chance to do something big, which he hasn't really done in a while, right. I'm more than super interested in seeing his take on a story that's kind of as old as time. Revenge.
Yeah, you know, one thing that kind of caught my eye was the fact that Eli Roth was doing this. This isn't a horror movie. I can't remember any other films in his catalog that aren't horror-based movies. Do you?
No, he's splat pack through and through.
Hmm. So what do you think brought him into this movie? You think it's just a love for the original?
I really hope that's what it is. It's just that he's passionate about the story. He loves the prospect of the film. And, you know, it was a great opportunity for him as a director to really spread his wings and, you know, tell a great visual story.
I would love to think that happened. But in reality, what I'm thinking has happened is he went to the people that make the movies and was like, hey, I need this much to make my next horror film. They're like, oh, we need you to do this and then we'll green light your project. He's like, oh, fine. All right, I'll do it. That's probably the reality, but I don't really know.
Your words, not mine.
This is the episode the fans voted for. It took two polls for us to finally get Ace Ventura on here. But here we are, man. How excited are you to finally talk about Ace Ventura?
I am super excited. Props to the fans for voting for Ace Ventura. No love lost for second place, which was The Truman Show, which I think would have made for an excellent episode. I really feel like for those of you that are going to be rewatching Ace Ventura with us, that we're going to see a story that we are going to watch differently than we did when we were kids. Having watched it a few years ago, I was definitely surprised at like the intricate story that's being told and like how it all ties together with fart jokes.
Gotta have the fart jokes, man. You know, one thing that you mentioned about Jim Carrey, and it's been a couple weeks since you said it, but I was just asking you like first impressions of Jim Carrey, and you just described him as stringy. And I just wonder if you can elaborate on that a little bit more on why you feel like Jim Carrey is both funny and then also very stringy at the same time.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and reference Nightmare on Elm Street, episode that we did a few weeks ago with Black Cat Shadow.
Spaghetti arms?
Spaghetti arms. To me, spaghetti arms, Robert Englund, and we've seriously talked about this for like 4 or 5 weeks now.
Right.
Is kind of like the horror version of Jim Carrey. It's like, what is he doing? Why is he flailing? He's all over the place. He's unpredictable. Is he going to knock over a patio set? Is he going to push somebody into a grill? Stringy.
Yeah. Now, so is Ace Ventura like the first memory of Jim Carrey for you then? Is this, or did you see him in something prior to this?
I had the fortunate pleasure to remember him from In Living Color. Fire Marshal Bill was my first Jim Carrey memory.
Okay, awesome. So safe to say you were already a fan before we got into Pet Detective.
Oh, I was on board. Was on board.
Was this a DeSandro family night at the movies, or was this a Blockbuster rental night for you?
Blockbuster rental. Again, my family didn't go to the movies. That we couldn't afford fancy shoes or school lunches. No, it was Blockbuster or not.
So you never ate lunch?
Well, not in those fancy brown paper sacks that you probably had.
Awesome. And yeah, I think that was my first memory too. Definitely Blockbuster, but I think there was like a lot of schoolyard effect with this movie. You know, like a lot of my friends that had watched it at the theater were going around the playground going, all righty then. And they're doing all the quotes and stuff. I'm just like, what's that from? And, you know, as soon as it came out, I can remember seeing this at home and watching the VHS of it and just fallen in love with all the quotes, because there's a ton of them in this movie. All the way down to one I still use today, which is "Holy Testicle Tuesday." Which
I like to. Yeah. I was gonna say I like to ask people questions.
Okay. Are the or the other one where he's like, "If I'm not back in 5 minutes, just wait longer." I always use that one too. But yeah, I mean, this movie's just so quotable. We've got the Miami Dolphins. We got Dan Marino. We've got a dolphin. It's just it's a fun movie to watch. Let's get into the trailer. So if you're listening at home or at work or you got computer access, let's get on the YouTube right now and just type in Ace Ventura Pet Detective Original Trailer. And the trailer that we're going to be watching was uploaded by Movie Clips Trailer Vault. And it has 193,000 views. And we will give a 3, 2, 1 click and we will watch this thing together. So, JD, you have it up on your end?
Socks off, ready to rock.
All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1, click.
They faced incredible odds and unbeatable enemies to earn the name Hero. But now there's a new way to spell action. Jim Carrey is Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. He's the best there is.
Excuse me, gentlemen. Pet Detective.
Actually, he's the only one there is.
You really love animals, don't you?
If it gets cold enough.
Now, the mascot of the Miami Dolphins has been kidnapped.
Oh, righty then.
And he's on the case of a lifetime.
Listen, Pet Dick, how would you like me to make your life a living hell?
Well, I'm not really ready for a relationship, Lois.
There's no place he won't go.
Captain's log, star rating 23.9.
Ace, get out of the tank.
I just can't do it, Captain. I can't have the power.
Nothing he won't do. And no one he can't handle.
Hey! I could do anything to embarrass me in front of camp.
What? Like this?
Hi, Captain Steubing.
Because when this pet detective gets the scent...
Where's Dan Marino?
Hi, I'm Dan Marino.
Marino, why?
Because he's about to join Snowflake.
He'll follow it anywhere.
Here's Snowflake.
Jim Carrey is...
Do not go in there.
Woo! Ace Ventura, Pet Detective.
Yes, yes, yes!
All right, JD, I'll have you go first. What'd you think of the trailer here?
First of all, I totally forgot Tone Loke was in this.
Yep, sure is.
Is this our first appearance of Tone?
Are you talking about Tone Loke?
Yeah, Tone Loke.
Yeah. This is definitely our first episode with Tone Loke, for sure.
We haven't hit Surf Ninjas or Blank Check yet. I don't know if maybe he snuck into a different party.
Oh my gosh, he is in Blank Check.
You're damn right he is. He's Juice.
Yep. That's amazing. Good catch. I have to say, and I'm sure you heard me on the other line, the audience couldn't, but I was just laughing like a hyena. The whole trailer, just watching his stringy body, just being a goofball on literally every clip of this trailer.
He's stringy. He is strang-ay.
A human puppeteer.
He really is, and the silly part about it is for him to act, Ace Ventura, not Jim Carrey, for Ace Ventura to act the way that he does in social situations like that either constitutes extreme social anxiety or supreme confidence. And I don't know where Ace Ventura lands because, as the film suggests, he may get the girl or a girl or an animal.
Well, if it gets cold enough, he'll get the animal. I thought the trailer's hilarious. I'm definitely looking forward to watching the movie. I guess what I'm going to be looking forward to kind of paying attention to is just what he does, even when he doesn't have a line, just like his movements and his facial expressions. That's what I'm going to be kind of paying attention to. How about you? What are you looking forward to?
No, I think that's a great point that you make, is that Jim Carrey as an actor says a lot between his lines of dialogue with his actions, especially in the trailer when he comes out and he's all eaten by the shark and he's like, no, do not go in there. And then, you know,
woo!
I didn't get it as a kid, but now it's like, oh, ooh.
Right. Awesome. Well, let's jump into the box office numbers and kind of see how Ace Ventura did in the theaters. So Ace Ventura Pet Detective was released to theaters on February 4th, 1994, distributed by Warner Brothers Pictures with a runtime of 87 minutes and a production budget of $15 million. Opening weekend, Ace Ventura was released to 1,750 screens and was the number one movie at the box office that week, bringing in $12.1 million. It would go on to repeat number one at the box office in week two and bring in an additional $9.6 million over the weekend, bringing their 10-day total to $24.6 million. JD, what do you think about the first 10 days here for Ace Ventura?
Dude, that's like one of those peanuts that you open it up and it has three nuts inside of the shell. Like, that's a pretty good, you know, considering looking at Ace Ventura now and the legacy that it's held up. It's, you know, looking at what its budget was and what it did over 10 days and for it to be number one two weekends in a row, I think it was kind of a success. I think that's a great way to start off a movie like this. Jim Carrey's still young in his comedy, you know, blossoming career. He's got a lot of films to get under his belt still. And for him to go back to back like that, you know, I'm a little proud of him.
Good. Week three, they did drop to number two, but still brought in over $10 million in week three. The movie that kicked them out of the number one spot that weekend was On Deadly Ground with Steven Seagal. Do you remember anything about On Deadly Ground?
I remember it existed.
Okay.
I remember you used to often play Steven Seagal versus Rambo versus Terminator in the playground. Well, maybe not you, us normal kids did. And that's about it. I mean, for me, all Steven Seagal movies sort of run together.
Right.
And the only difference that I could ever tell is where he rips the body part out of an individual. Like, I think in Under Siege, he rips a guy's Adam's apple out. So I'll never forget Under Siege.
Did they not just do like 20 Under Siege movies? They all have different names? Interesting. Week four, Ace Ventura would go back to the number one spot and take back their crown here. And they would also repeat in week five and would stay in theaters for 17 weeks total. Total domestic gross for the film was $72,217,396, bringing in an additional $35 million in international money, which brought their worldwide total to over $107 million. So not only did they start off well, but they finished well too. So what were your thoughts on the total numbers here for Ace Ventura? More than you expected? Less?
That's definitely more than I expected. Like, I didn't think that it would hold on the number one spot and go for as long as it did. You know, like, I know that he can go a few times, but man, he really brought home the gold.
Yeah. Now, if you had to guess without cheating, and, you know, I do want to cover the sequel, so I don't want to give much away here. Which movie do you think grossed more money, the original or the sequel?
I really feel like the original did.
Okay. Well, you'd be dead wrong.
Damn it.
And so,
50 shot too.
Yeah, I won't give away too much, but the sequel to Ace Ventura doubled up the original, which surprised me quite a bit because I don't remember getting that excited about Nature Calls, but apparently everybody just loved it.
I, in all honesty, have never seen When Nature Calls. Never seen it.
Really?
Close to zero interest. To me, from what I could tell from the trailer, it does, again, what we've been talking about for multiple franchises. What the sequel does is it takes the main character and story out of the element. Mm. I mean, Ace Ventura, he's a fish out of water when he's in the big city, when he's in Miami and he's investigating pet crimes.
Right.
To put him out into the safari where he's surrounded by animals? I don't know. It's sort of, again, and I don't know the story, but I don't
Jurassic know. Park without the park. Yeah. Weird. You just call it Jurassic at that point. Let's do some top 10 movies for the weekend of February 4th. So as we talked about, number one was Ace Ventura. Number two at the box office. Good competition here. Mrs. Doubtfire was number two. Number 3 was Philadelphia with Tom Hanks. Number 4, My Father the Hero, which also debuted that same weekend. Number 5 was I'll Do Anything, which also debuted that weekend. Number 6 was Schindler's List. Number 7, Grumpy Old Men. Number 8, Blink. Number 9, Intersection, not to be confused with Interstellar. And number 10, Iron Will. So, obviously, I can't wait to get into Mrs. Doubtfire. Hello! But any other notable films on there for you, JD?
Yeah, obviously, we need to take a moment to give props to the almighty Doubtfire. Philadelphia, you know, it happens.
Good movie.
No, it's a great movie. I just don't know that it'll ever cross our podcast.
God, that'd be a boring episode. So this is when he gets AIDS. JD, any thoughts on that? Yeah, well, he's going to die.
Here's the medical research that says that if he were alive now, he would be cured, but he's dead, so there's that.
What else?
Big Grumpy Old Man. Was it Grumpy Old Man, not Grumpier?
Yeah, Grumpy Old Man, the first one.
I loved those. I thought those two movies, that and then the sequel, were pretty cool. Obviously, if I watched them as an adult, I'm sure it's a totally different movie.
No, they're still funny. I watched it not too long ago with my dad, and Walter Matthau's character is hilarious. He always putts, and then it's got the trainer from Rocky is in it, and it's just a good cast. So yeah, it holds up. But My Father the Hero, I remember this one, and not to turn this into let's ooze all over her, but Katherine Heigl, I just remember seeing her in the trailer, like in a bikini. I'm like, I'll watch that.
So the one thing that I remember about that movie is Gerard Depardieu, or however you say his name, and just laughing uncontrollably during the trailers for that movie because I thought his name was so silly. It shows how culturally insensitive we were raised to be in the 90s. His name was silly, so I laughed.
I heard a story about him after all this stuff came out about Harvey Weinstein that he like got into his face and like threatened to kick his ass one time because Harvey Weinstein didn't pay him. He's just like this real like brute type of guy from France. And he was just like, I'm not playing this game. Give me the money or I'm going to hit you with my giant potato nose. And that dude's got a beak on him. Have you seen his photo?
I have seen photos of him. Interesting that you would. We haven't beaked in a while, so I'm, you know.
I'd beak with Katherine Heigl. I don't know about Gerard de Blue.
You would not let that potato beak?
No, absolutely not. You know, one of the other movies that stands out to me is Iron Will. Not because it's like an Oscar-winning movie, but for the simple reason that any time in middle school we ever had a substitute teacher, that was like the go-to movie. It's like, hey, guys, we got a sub today. Guess what? Don't say we're watching Iron Will. We're watching Iron Will. Somebody want to grab the TV? It's like, oh, my God. I must have watched that movie 10 times.
And then somebody would wheel in the TV on the cart, right?
Yeah, it'd be on the cart. And, yeah, you get to watch like 30 minutes of it, take a break, come back after lunch. Or after recess, watch another 30 minutes. It's like, oh, my gosh. I mean, it's probably a good movie, but it's just it kind of ruined it for me because I had to watch it so many times.
Yeah, that happens with school movies and, you know, like the
that in October Sky. That was the other one.
I didn't see October Sky until I was an adult. I missed that one in school. Apparently, you guys lucked out in Indiana.
Yeah, I guess so. Let's jump into some of the success of the movie and just how it was received critically here. So we know it did well in the box office. Let's talk about critics and audience. So we're going to use Rotten Tomatoes to gauge the response. JD, of course, was not given the numbers ahead of time, even though last week it might have seemed like he cheated because he guessed almost perfect. I think this week will be a lot different. So JD, how do you think the critics received Ace Ventura Pet Detective?
You know, I am very nervous about my guesses this week, partly because last week I was stellar. this doesn't seem like a movie that critics would have responded too greatly to, because I feel like they would have been distracted by the stringy toilet humor that maybe that's just what we call it from now on.
Okay.
so I really feel like Roger, I'm going to go with my gut. I'm going to give it a critic's response of 38%.
Okay, great. And what about the audience?
I feel like the audience responded a little bit better. But based on our poll, again, this is the second time that we've had Ace Ventura as a potential film to review, and that our audience didn't come to bat in like droves the way that I thought they would have, you know, for Ace Ventura.
Mm-hmm.
And then even this, for it to be like such a neck and neck race, that I feel like it sort of skipped a generation maybe. And so audience, I'm going to say 54%.
Damn, you're close again. All right. So, I mean, you're pretty much dead on. So the critic response was 46% rotten. So you're a little bit lower on that one. But the audience was 57%.
Hey-o.
So you're almost right on the money there. And yeah, for some reason, you make a lot of good points there. You know, even in the poll topic, like the first time, it came pretty close to winning, but it got beat out. The second time, it barely hung on by like a couple votes. So for whatever reason, not like everybody is crazy about Ace Ventura. So I don't know if it's a generational thing. Maybe it's just you got to be like a 90s kid to love it. And if you were a teenager, you thought it was like stupid. I don't know. What do you think it is?
You know, I'm tempted to say ask that same question again after or when we do the full review, after the movie is fresh on our minds.
Probably a good question to ask then. Yeah, you're right.
We might have some more fresh insight on it, but you know, I wonder, I think those that were our age that watched that movie as a kid, I mean, you have a son. Would you show him Ace Ventura yet?
Not yet.
So there, I think there is like a generational gap where it's not necessarily been introduced into, you know, anybody that's from 5 to 15 years old. I mean, we were very young when we watched it, but I can't imagine anyone in that age bracket watching this movie.
Yeah, it'd be tough to explain to him why there's a trans woman in the movie with the balls in basically her ass. I don't know. That'd be a tough conversation to have with a 5-year-old.
But yet, and at the time, 5-year-olds were quoting this movie all over the playground.
But you know what? I mean, this movie, it came out today, would be gangbusters for that, though.
The story is very ahead of its time. I want us to focus on that when we get to the full review.
Yeah. So we swap Dan Marino out for like Drew Brees. What do you think?
It adds up, because Dan Marino was kind of towards the end of his career when this movie came out, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. It'd definitely be like Brees, Brady, or Rodgers. I could see Rodgers doing it, though. I think he'd be funnier than those other guys. I don't know. All right, let's hear from the critics, though. We've got a couple things. We don't have our old buddy, Robert Ebert, because I chose not to include him this week. So we've got Steve Holden of the New York Times said, "Only a child could love Mr. Carey's character. But that may be the point. The movie has metabolism, logic, and attention span of a peevish 6-year-old. What do you think?
I think he hits it right on the head, especially with the 6-year-old. And I think that's the generational cultural differences that review, if a parent or anybody saw that and it's like, oh, this movie's, you know, good for a peevish 6-year-old, they'd be like, no. But back then it was appropriate.
Yeah, maybe I just need to wait one more year and I can show it to my son now.
You know what? Let me. I will come in the middle of the night. I will scoop him from his bed. I got a big Astro van with like a pull-down TV. I'll show it to him late at night in the dark.
That's super creepy.
Thank you.
So aggressive. All right, and I got one more. Rita Kempley of the Washington Post said, "A riot from start to finish. Carey's first comedy is as cheerfully bawdy as it is idiotically inventive." A lot of $10 words there. What'd you think?
I my memory would say the same. It's an inventive movie. It's bawdy. It's stringy. They keep forgetting to use the word stringy.
Somewhere there has to be like a write-up about him just talking about how stringy he is.
Well, maybe we just trademark that phrase, Jim Carrey is stringy.
That'd be nice. Yeah. Interesting. We're going to come back on Wednesday. We're going to do the full episode and really deep dive into Ace Ventura. We want to thank you guys for hitting the download button on today's episode. And remember to subscribe to the podcast, hit rate, review, and then leave us a little message there about what you love about the show that helps us grow the podcast and eventually pick up sponsors, which, by the way, JD, side note, we got our first sponsor. I'll tell you about it off air. So we'll go through that. Now, next week on the teaser trailer, we will be discussing The Big Lebowski. It's going to be the 20-year anniversary for Big Lebowski. can't believe it's already been 20 years. It's one of my favorite movies, and looking forward to getting into that. And you can follow us on social media at Back in Time Pod, Twitter, Instagram. We're at Facebook, facebook.com/backintimepod. And we're also online at backintimepod.wordpress.com. For JD and myself, it's time to climb back into the DeLorean, punch in today's date, and return back to present day. We'll talk to you on Wednesday. See ya.
Alrighty then. That was okay.